It's always a blessing to be able to come into your home, or maybe into your car, or maybe you're already at the office, or already at your shop, wherever you are. We thank you for taking the opportunity to just spend a few moments with us. This is Missions Month on Word for Life. We've been talking about many different aspects of missions, and the last couple of times, Tim, Brian, and Dan Pahalski, three brothers in our church, have just been sharing some of their experiences on our Spain missions trip that they were able to go on this last fall, and just kind of a challenge to each one of you. And as I was closing the last broadcast, mentioning that maybe you feel like, well, I'm too old to go. Maybe you are too infirmed to go, but you are not too old to give, to enable other people to be able to go. And these guys have just been challenging my heart as I've been sitting here thinking about what God is doing in their lives. They said that the oldest person was in his 70s. Is that correct?
Two of them in the 70s.
Two of them in their 70s. Mm. And just the opportunity just to say, that's it. You know, I'm going to put that on my bucket list. You know what a bucket list is?
Yes.
It's something you're going to do before you die, you know?
Right.
And would you recommend everybody put that on their bucket list to take a missions trip?
Oh, I wouldn't even suggest waiting that long. Just put it on the to-do list.
I mean, you're 20, right, Dan? And it's done in your life, you know? Your life has definitely been challenged with these trips. Now, you know, sometimes you get on a trip like that and things don't go quite as planned. I heard some folks talking when they got back about running out of hot water, like for how long?
Well, we ran out of all water, pretty much.
All water?
Yeah, the second day we were there.
Okay.
The hot water and the cold water, so we didn't have any fresh water coming in.
Okay.
So they had to keep bringing it up from the village down below.
Bringing it up like in buckets?
Yeah, 5-gallon buckets.
You're serious?
Yep. Whatever they could get their hands on for water, they're filling up buckets and bringing
okay.
them up.
All right, so if you have no hot water, there are no showers. For how long?
Well, actually, we just took really cold showers.
Really cold showers, yeah.
They had a couple springs on the property that actually feed the water, and they were able to tap into one of those
okay.
and fill up the showers with water. So it was a very cold, quick shower. But even that was just a minor setback.
So it's kind of invigorating then, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it was just fine.
It made you feel alive.
You better believe it.
If you're in Spain and you're in the mountains and you're not taking a freezing cold shower, you're missing out.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm sure everybody's listening to it and they're freezing cold here in January and they're going, oh, don't even talk about it. But God so many times has ways of stretching us. And last time you said that the leader of the trip used the word stretch, S-T-R-E-T-C-H, and what, 8 people had one letter? One day, S one day, T the next day. And then they gave devotions based on the word stretch.
Yes.
Would you say that the devotions were designed to help you to see where God wants to stretch you?
That was one of the neatest things, how God orchestrated the different lessons for that particular day.
Okay.
I know this one time, and it was actually Brian who gave the challenge. He lost all of his notes going back and forth and either left them at home or left them somewhere where he couldn't find them. So in the hustle and bustle, it's like, okay, you have 3 minutes. I'll get out there so you can give the devotion.
Yeah.
And Brian just had on his heart really heavy, and you can share more about this, Brian, but he said, this morning we're going to pray, and we're going to pray specifically about helping each other or whatever. And you can tell more about that, Brian.
Absolutely. It was funny how that worked because I went to get my notes for the lesson that I was going to give that morning.
Right.
And I was like, I just saw them. I couldn't find them. I don't even know if they made it to Spain, but they were somewhere. I had them all written out. I had some stuff on my phone. But instead of doing that, it got put on my heart so hard. Let's have a prayer time. So I told the group, let's come together and let's pray. And we had about a half an hour of just prayer time and asking God for wisdom, what to do, and just thanking him. It was mainly thanking God for what he was doing there and how he was working in our hearts and thanking him for the people that were there. And it was one of the most special prayer times I've ever had. And it was all put on my heart by God. And it couldn't have turned out better.
Better than what you had prior to this time prepared, but you were flexible. And you could have been bent out of shape with the loss of your notes, but instead you said, okay, Lord, I want to be flexible. I'm going to go with the flow, whatever, however you're leading me. And gratitude is what the Lord laid on your heart. And gratitude is the attitude that it just makes everything work together well, doesn't it?
It sure does. It gives you good perspective, helps you realize how much we have. And that was one of the things you were talking about, was not having hot water, not being able to take showers like normal, or even turn on the water to brush your teeth in the morning. And we started thanking God for the water that we have to drink, because it was so great to have crystal clear water. And, you know, you're in a different country, so you're afraid that you're going to get some type of sickness or whatever. So we had a lot of bottled water, and
we're
so grateful for that. And then grateful for the safety and protection when you're working on the actual side of a mountain.
Right.
When you're not used to that, God brought safety. And then he also brought kindness and consideration and different traits that sometimes you don't want to give someone grace. And we're so grateful for that because of the example that Christ set for us.
And, you know, when you get tired, like at the end of the week, it's easy for tempers to kind of flare, for patience to get less. But that's when you can really see the abundance of grace that God gives when your focus is one of gratitude.
Absolutely. We were traveling for about 24 hours to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got there, you had the jet lag. And you had a mountain of work to do.
Right.
And one of the hardest things was facing the work and being very tired from the jet lag. It's 7 hours ahead there. Mm-hmm. So you're thrown in a totally different time. And only by God's grace and his spirit dwelling inside of us were we able to work together and accomplish the goals that we had.
Now, let me ask you a question. You guys have used the term when God puts it on your heart. You used it when you were talking about hearing about the missions trip. And Brian, you were talking about, let's have a time of prayer. What do you mean when God puts it on your heart?
Well, I think that if you're moldable and shapeable, you'll be able to feel that God wants you to do something, and he wants to use you or be used through you. And we have to allow ourselves to be used by God.
Okay.
And wanting to live for him and have his desires be fulfilled through you.
Now, pretend like I'm not a Christian. And so you're saying when God lays it on your heart, like, does that mean he writes it in the sky? Does he send it through the United States postal system? How does God lay something on a believer's heart? What's that like? How can you describe that?
I can give an answer in regards to having God put it on our hearts to go to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as you're walking with God, he changes your desires. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires that will be in your heart.
Okay.
So you walk as close as you can to God, which means seeking him in his word, spending time in his word, praying, being around other believers who are teaching God's word to you, and then listening to the Spirit of God in your heart directing you. And I believe that sometimes he directs you through your desires. And so when I heard about the trip to Spain, one of the desires that I have is to help other people and to take the skills that I have, and whether they're great skills or just everyday skills, to be a benefit to other people.
Right.
And so that's how I believe God puts it on your heart, even through directing your desires.
Would you say that when God puts something on your heart, that it stays on your mind?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would say that's kind of how it is. He puts it on your heart, and you can't get it out of your mind.
Out of your mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you kind of, when you're going to bed, you're thinking about it. Maybe when you wake up in the morning, it's kind of still there and you're thinking about it. Throughout the course of the day, you're just kind of thinking about it. And maybe that's kind of a just a little practical way of saying, if I can't get it out of my mind, maybe God is putting it on my heart.
Yeah.
So as we consider God doing that, we're talking to folks, guys, that wherever they are in this area or even out and around in other areas, God many times will put things on their heart. Hmm. And when God does that, what you're saying is begin to get in the Word, seek the Word, seek his mind, seek his heart through his Word, and just see if the Lord's going to begin to open a door.
Yeah, exactly. I think earlier in the program, you had mentioned about putting it on your bucket list
right.
to go to a missions trip somewhere, some yeah. type of missions trip, short-term missions trip to get a taste for it. I would say when God puts in his word, go into all the world and make disciples and teach others and invest treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal.
Right.
When God says things like that in his word, he says it for our benefit. And so step out in faith and don't have it on your bucket list because you will wish after you went that you would have started going on these trips way sooner and you will say, I can't wait to go on the next one.
Right.
That's right.
Because following Christ in obedience in a practical way like that is one of the most exciting adventures that you can go on in your life.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. Kind of going off of that, I remember working on the trip and this particular one that we went on was a work trip. And you work like 10, 12 hours a day. And I just remember even when I went to Redcliffe, just getting done with the day, laying in my bed with the biggest smile I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I can't explain. You work that hard, you should be dead tired and grumpy, complaining, but God working through you and changing your heart, letting you do what you've really been designed to do, serve others, and just getting true fulfillment out of that. It was amazing in both trips that I've been. I can't wait for the next one, like Tim said.
Yeah, I also think that if you like going on vacations or if you like going on trips and seeing the world, there is no greater vacation than going on a work missions trip. We got to see one of the most beautiful parts of Spain and, in my book, one of the most beautiful parts in the world.
Sure.
And we're working. And if you've ever been on a vacation and you're like, I want to go see more things or you want to go do things, it kind of feels empty or unfulfilled. But as you're working, you're seeing these things and you get to go to these places that God leads you to go to. There is no greater vacation in my book than going on a mission trip.
That is a great point. And you know, when we get to heaven, isn't it going to be neat when we are approached by some folks from Spain or Wyoming and they say, were you a part of that team that went out and did this and did that? And you go, yeah. Let me tell you, I got saved at that camp. Hmm. My marriage was turned around at that camp. I'll tell you what, it is going to be a fantastic time in heaven, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
You know, when you have the opportunity just to realize what God has enabled us to be a part of is not just construction, but it's sharing the gospel, it's teaching the word of God, and seeing lives being changed. Well, I trust that our emphasis on missions this month will challenge your heart, my friend. Be involved. Get involved in giving, in going, and in praying. And in doing so, let God change the world through you. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.